Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time, and I pray that we wouldn't be distracted, but that we would be hyper-focused on you. Father, I pray that we would be attentive to your word, that you would truly use this time effectively for recreating us into those you have created us to be, you've called us to be, you've saved us to be. Father, let us be attentive to your word, that there be no distraction. We ask this in the matchless power of Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we are going to be focusing on something that may or may not be familiar to you. God's promises. How many promises do you stand on? All of them. Well, I tell you, this has been a great study for me. And I don't want to give away too much of all I have learned. But I think to begin, we need to know and understand what a promise is. So fortunately, someone has a vast amount of wisdom, and they shared it. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says, a promise is a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified. That gives the person to whom it is made a right to claim the performance or forbearance of a specific act. So when God says something, that settles it. He can be trusted. That's his promise. Unlike, I promise, this sermon will be short. Come on, trust me. I'm just saying. It's important, though, that we recognize God's promises need to be taken in their proper perspective, in the context, so that we get the full meaning. And one of the most popular promises people hang on that's found in God's Word is Hebrews 13:5, which says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That's a promise we like to hang on. That's a comforting promise. But how many of us often quote the first part of this verse, if we're even familiar with it? And that's why we need to look at the whole of verses. The first part says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. It's because of the promise of God's presence we can live free from the love of money and become content with all we have. There's the promise we all need. We need to lay claim to this one, God's presence. He promises to never leave nor forsake us. But are we standing on that truth? When it comes to promises found in God's Word, we also need to watch out for laying claim to someone else's promise and calling it our own. Take, for instance, the all-familiar passage of Jeremiah 29:11. I hope it's familiar. I have quoted this for years. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I don't know. Have you stood on that promise? I mean, I have claimed that for years, and I never really paid attention to the information in it. When you go back to verses 1 through 3 of Jeremiah 29, you'll see that this is actually a sentence from a letter that was given to Jewish exiles in Babylon. I'm not going to take the time to read them, but in verses 4 through 9, there were some actions these people were encouraged to take. They were told to build houses, to settle down, increase in number, seek peace and prosperity in the city to which I have carried you into exile. They were also warned to not listen to false prophets. And then in verse 10 and 11, we hear the promise. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you. I will fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. There's an action and there's waiting. The promise was given to those in captivity, and they were going to wait 70 years. And then God would fulfill his promise. Listen to Jeremiah 29:11 again. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Did you hear the information in these verses? God is a keeper of His promises. Even if it takes a long, long time, He's faithful. Who on this planet do you know that keeps a promise for 70 years? I mean, when I thought about that, I discussed this with my wife. Potentially, there's someone married for 70 years on this planet. They would have fulfilled their promise to until death do us part. But for the most part, who keeps a promise to begin with? I'll say it again. I promise this sermon will be short. Trust me. We see here that God knows everything, that He's not out to harm us, that He wants to help us. He has plans for us. What I want you to take away from this is that when God is with us, our hope is secure. And at the other extreme, if we aren't with God, there is no hope. Think about that. When we read the Bible, one way to know if a promise is universal is to find some other places where that same promise is found in the Bible. For example, Joshua 1:5 is a promise to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave nor forsake you. We find this also in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 8 of the same chapter. And in Hebrews 13:5, where we began, we see that this promise, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, is God's promise to all that believe. These promises apply to a certain people group. Believers. As believers, we need to be willing to accept all of God's promises, not just the ones we like. For example, John 16:33 reads, "In this world you will have trouble." That's a promise. But we claim the second half of that verse because we know we don't struggle and suffer alone. The second half of the verse says, "But we take heart." Why? Because I, Jesus, God, has overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, stand firm. I have overcome the world. Some promises are conditional, where we must take an action. God will do His part when we do our part. Some conditional verses can be identified by the words if and then. Deuteronomy 11:22-23 serves as a great example. This is what it says in verse 22. If you carefully observe all the commands I'm giving you to follow, the commands to love God, to walk in His ways, and to hold fast to Him, or as we said last week, stand firm, then the Lord will do something. He'll drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. You're not going to do it in your own strength. We need God's, His power. Conditional promises are also found in the New Testament. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore." No, he doesn't. He says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord." That's the action. "And I will lift you up." That's the effect. But these promises must be taken hold of. They need to be applied by faith to our lives. We must believe them and use them. What a concept. I have all this information. It's like having a dead battery in your car. Yeah, well, you know, I need a new battery. So you go to the auto store, you buy a battery, and you put it in the trunk. Is that going to start your engine? No. Oh, no, I lost my sword. Man, I lost my hymnal and I lost my Bible this morning. I need my Bible. You don't want to keep your Bible in the trunk. You want to carry it with you. You want to be plugged in. You want to be attached. When we put our faith into action by focusing on the promises of God, they become more personal. They become more valuable. We don't want to be found in the condition of the people that were written about in Hebrews 4:2. We read the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it didn't combine it with their faith. If you're not seeing the promises of God being fulfilled in your life, listen, check your faith. That's the action. We're told in Matthew 13:58 that Jesus didn't do many miracles in a town because of their lack of faith. Check it out, Matthew 13. If you want to profit from the promises found in God's Word, you can't be passive about it. You need to take action. Hebrews 6:12 tells us, we don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. God always makes good on His promise. He can't not. Is that right? Listen to Proverbs 13:4. I love this. The sluggard craves and gets nothing. Oh, I wish, I wish, I wish. I have my battery in the trunk. I wish my car would start. I have all this power in God's Word, but I don't open the cover. The sluggard craves and gets nothing. But the desire of the diligent are fully satisfied. They take the action. The diligent make sure they're prepared to receive God's promises. God is looking for surrendered hearts, for those who are quick to confess sin. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If your prayers aren't hooked up and being answered, check your faith. Sometimes there's something in our lives that causes us to have to wait a long time before we get the promise fulfilled. Hebrews 10:22-23 offers this instruction. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Stand firm. Never let them go. The promises of God He will fulfill. If you're in the midst of waiting, don't give up. Read a couple verses further in Hebrews 10 to verse 36. It gives this advice. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. You can't have faith without action. It's way more effective when you do the work on your own. There is a black Bible around here with a, maybe it's on the floor there behind you, Tracy. I see it. Yay, and I found my hymnal too. No, I just need some, my word picture is missing and I'm lost without it. See how important it is to carry this thing with you so that you can pick it up and say, we need to be in this thing. Don't leave it on the table. Pick it up and use it. As we sort through all the chaos of the past 18 months, think about it. Searching for the reason to press on, why should I go another day? We wouldn't be left with a, left with much if it wasn't for the promises of God. Do you know the promises of God? The one He won't leave us nor forsake us. The one that has a plan for us. To be successful, to give us a hope and a future, to protect us and support us and carry us through. How can people make it through one day without that knowledge? I can't imagine. The promises of God shed renewing, and listen, refreshing light on the suffering each one of us suffers each day. I had the day from hell today. And for me to stand up and proclaim this, there's this battle raging. I'm just saying. I'm not perfect yet. There's still hope. I'm still in the work. But you need to take the action. Read the book. There are in the neighborhood of 10,000 promises throughout God's Word. 10,000. I can't imagine to begin to know them all. That's what the scholars tell me. I choose to believe the resources I went to. These promises are strewn throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, but I want to just share the ones, and I'm sure this isn't all of them, the ones I found in Psalm 119, because we're working our way through. So let me share what Psalm 119, verse 50 says when it comes to suffering. This is what Psalm 119:50 says. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. In verse 76, may your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant. Verse 116, sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Don't let my hopes be dashed. Psalm 119:62 says, I rejoice in your promises like someone who finds great spoil. These are treasures. Hang on to them. Guard them with your life. There's more treasure to be found in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. That's the action. Are we taking the actions? We looked at 2 Peter 1:3 last week. This week I want to look at 2 Peter 1:3-4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Verse 4. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, I know that's a lot to chew on. I've been eating it for 2 weeks. But when I focus on these promises found in the Bible and take hold of them and put them into practice, this is what happens. We unleash God's power. But you must take the action. I'm no scholar. Honestly, I have a 5th grade reading aptitude. But from what I understand of the English language, everything means everything. Yes? I'm also aware of the tense of these verses. God has given, past tense, God has given you and I everything we need right now to be all God wants us to be. We have access to this knowledge. We have the freedom to pick it up anytime, anyplace, anywhere, and not suffer the consequences. How cool is that? Very cool. Thank you. Verse 4 says, He has given us a very great, His very great promises. God's promises are great. They're precious. His promises are to be treasured, but not stored on a shelf or carried once a week to some special building. They're to be put into practice every day. We're to stand on them every day. And when we do, according to verse 4, two things happen. We get closer to the Savior, so that through them, His promises, you may participate in the divine nature, God's nature. And we also get farther from sin, according to this verse. Escape the corruption in the world that is caused by evil desire. So listen to 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4 in its whole. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. In a world of broken promises, God can be trusted. As for me, did I make good on my promise? Was this a short sermon? Amen. God, Your word has gone out, and I pray that it has fallen on open hearts and minds, that we would pick up all these promises and put them into practice, that we would apply them to our lives, and that people would see us different. Let us not be like the world, caught up in its evil desires. Let us be clothed with Your righteousness. Let's lay aside all the stuff that we need to lay down and never pick it up again. God, continue to mold us and shape us into those You created us to be, and let us reflect You well through the power of Your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.